And welcome to God's house, those that are here with us at Pinckney, and those that are in their homes worshiping from there. God is with us wherever we want to worship and can worship, and we are so glad that He's with us today in spirit. We're going to open up this morning with a word of prayer, and then we're going to have some special music from a special lady, Shirley Johnson. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank You, Lord, for this glorious day that You have given us. We thank You, Lord, for those that are here with us in person, and those that are here with us in spirit. Lord, we just love You. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for Your love and Your mercy and Your grace. Father, we thank You that You are the risen Christ, and we can worship You, we can praise You, and we can adore You whether we are here at this church or where in our homes or those that are in their cars listening. Father, we thank You for the glorious Son of Jesus, Your Son Jesus Christ, who came as a babe born in a manger, performed many miracles, who saved countless thousands and continues saving through His Spirit today, the risen Lord. Father, we ask all these things in Your holy and precious name. Amen and amen. Shirley Johnson will come and bless us with a song.
I chose this because I thought this was appropriate for what is going on now. So anyway, here I am. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, child. You're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God of the night. We talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but talk comes easy when life's at its best. It's down in the valley of trials and temptations. That's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God of the night. The God of the day is still God of the night.
Thank you. Good job. Good job. Thank you. Thank you, Shirley. We truly enjoyed that. My sermon today comes to us from two passages in the Bible. It's my sermon title, Jesus Appears to Thomas and Other People. You know, we just think sometimes that he just appeared to Thomas because Thomas was not there the first time that the other disciples saw him. My scripture selection comes from John chapter 20, John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. May we hear the word of the Lord. Now Thomas, called a twin, one of the 12, was not with the other disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see you in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after the 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with him. Jesus came, and the doors being shut, and he stood in the midst and said, "Peace unto you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Verse 29, Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." My second scripture is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Once again, may we hear the word of the Lord as it comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Paul is talking about the risen Christ and talking about faith because of that. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I've delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again from the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, after he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all of the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born of the due time. May we once again go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this blessed scripture. It tells us so much, and we can stand on our faith, especially with these two. They tie in together so well. We thank you, we love you, and we ask you to bless the reader and the hearer of these your words. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So many times we focus on Thomas and we think about this resurrection. We think about who saw Jesus first, who was absent. But is that the main object of our story here? With the scripture, Jesus' resurrection is the starting point of the Christian faith. Christianity does not just rely on the account of Jesus' empty tomb, but on the testimony of those who met with the risen Christ. The first witnesses of the risen Jesus were women, Mary Magdalene and the others who went to Jesus' tomb early on that Easter morning, according to Matthew 28, verses 8, 9, and 10. After that, Jesus appeared to his other disciples while they were gathered together. And he ate with them, according to Luke 24, verse 43. However, Thomas was not present. And when the other disciples told him the wonderful news, "We have seen the risen Lord," Thomas refused to believe. He says in verse 25 that I read, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe," Thomas is saying. What's it going to take? You know, we can look around this world today and so many people can't see Jesus. They don't see Jesus through nature. They don't see Jesus through somebody else. They don't see a risen Christ as it jumps out at you at a song, just like Shirley Johnson sang this morning. He's the God on the mountain and the God in the valley times. He is a risen Christ. A week later, the disciples were together again, and Thomas was with them. The doors to the room were locked. Jesus came and stood among them. In verse 26 of John that I read, "Peace be with you." And how many times does he say that in the New Testament? He says it many times. He wants people to be at ease. He wants them to have peace and love in their hearts. And back then it was an addressing nature where we say, "Hello." Jesus loved to start it off, putting people at ease. "My Peace be with you, my brothers, my sisters in Christ. Then Jesus turned to Thomas and he offered him his hands. And he also said, look at my side. Put your hand here. In an instant, Thomas knew that it was Jesus and he was alive. He was standing right there before him. Thomas, according to Scripture, fell down and he worshiped Jesus. Verse 28 from John that I read this morning, my Lord and my God. Jesus responded that all who believed in him without seeing, as Thomas had, would be blessed. About 20 years after Jesus' resurrection, the Apostle Paul wrote a list of some of those people who had seen the risen Christ. The list included Peter, the other disciples, along with more than 500 people, some of whom were still alive. And Scripture says some are alive, but some were asleep, meaning they had passed on. Jesus' resurrection was not a delusion in the disciples' imagination like so many had witnessed. But in this day and time that Jesus lived and died, there were so many people that were looking reasons not to believe instead of looking for a great reason to believe in a risen Christ. Some of the ones who had seen Jesus, Mary Magdalene, the other women, Peter, the disciples, and to the 11, including Thomas, at his ascension, there were several of his disciples. To the disciples on the Emmaus Road, they had seen a risen Savior. In Galilee, they had seen him. To 500 people, as I said earlier, he had appeared in verse 7 to James and the apostles. And then again to Paul on the road to Damascus, which was a very significant point in Paul's life. It's also a significant point for the New Testament because Paul wrote so much of it. You know, we see this important information about the early church, for the early church. Many people had encountered Jesus alive. and their testimony could be checked. Throughout history, Christians have believed that those first witnesses really did not meet Jesus after his crucifixion. His body had been changed by the resurrection. He could appear in the middle of a locked room. Now, how many people can appear in a locked room? Our doors are locked here. If Jesus walked in that door, what would we do? We would fall down and worship the risen Savior and say, glory, hallelujah. And then we would be glad to go back, go to where he's going. And one day he is coming back. And he is going to get all of his believers. Christians believe that this indicates the transformation that will happen to all who follow Jesus into God's kingdom. Now, we know about Thomas. He was a twin, as the scripture said. He was known also as Doubting Thomas. He was inquisitive, he was doubtful, he was courageous. He was faithful to Jesus while a disciple under him during those 3 years. Courageously, according to John 11:16, Thomas encouraged disciples to go to Bethany, and he led the group that went. He was not afraid. Jesus can overcome our doubts. He can lead believers to faithfulness. He can believe unbelievers to change their hearts if they're just open to him. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a great Savior. Thomas did find it hard to accept the resurrection testimonies that so many had believed and have told him. But yet, before we start slinging arrows at him, let us look inside of ourselves. At one time, were we not unbelievers? At one time, were people around the world, they're worshiping Muhammad and they're worshiping others, and I'm not throwing off on any denomination. But so many people do not worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And our brother in Christ, Mike Aycock, and his group sings a song. And I love that song. If you go to Muhammad, if you want to visit his gravesite, you can go visit it and open up the doors. And what do you find? Bones and a grave clothes. If you go to China, Russia, all their so-called great leaders of their religious movement. You go to their graves, what do you find? Bones and graves clothes. But if you go to our Savior, Jesus Christ's tomb, what are you going to find? You're not going to find any bones. You're not going to find Jesus Christ laying there. You're going to find maybe some folded up grave clothes, because the scripture does say that the women found the grave clothes folded. I got cold chills all over me just thinking about Jesus Christ. John 20, verse 29 that I read earlier. Because you have seen me, you have believed. And he was talking directly to Thomas, but he was talking to any of us today that maybe we've seen Christ in others and turned our heads. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed, and that does include us. Glory, hallelujah, for our risen King. You know, we look at what happened to Jesus. So much happened. Yes, Thomas has already been portrayed as loyal, but pessimistic. Yes, Jesus did not rebuke Thomas for his failure to recognize him and to believe. Instead, he compassionately showed him the holes in his hands, the holes in his sides. Jesus lovingly met him at the point of his weakness. Doubtful. Thomas's actions could be just like a lot of the action for people today. Indicated that Jesus had to convince the disciples. Now, how is Jesus going to decide to help so many people around our world today, in our communities, in our churches? So many come to church on a habit. Some come to church to worship a truly living God. So we could say, that the first disciples that saw him, they came to church and believed and worshiped. But initially, Thomas didn't. Jesus foresaw the time when such tangible evidence that Thomas received. At first, it was not available, was it? When Jesus ascended permanently to the Father, all of those who believed would do so without the benefit of seeing the resurrected Lord. Jesus pronounced a special blessing on those who believe without having Thomas's privilege. We didn't have the privilege of Thomas and his disciples, but we have the privilege that they didn't have. The scripture telling us the story all the way through of a risen Lord. Thanks be to God for our scripture. Thanks be to God for His Son, Jesus Christ, who came, born in a manger, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was dead and crucified, and yet, what's so great about that? 3 days later, He was risen. That is the glorious part of this for the disciples, because they saw Him as a risen Lord. May we see Him in our hearts. May we feel Him in our hearts. We can see Christ in others. And during this pandemic, we've seen so many things that point us to Christ. We've seen young people going around getting food and pulling it in wagons and just giving it to people who need it. We see stranger after stranger helping their brother and sister in Christ who needs so much help. I can see Christ in this. I can feel Jesus Christ moving this pandemic on ahead, and I can feel Him telling us, my brothers, my sisters, everything's going to be okay. We will get through this together. You know, Jesus still answers email. He still answers when we go to Him on bended knee. Thomas, when he affirmed that Jesus was the risen Lord, what did he do? He dropped to his knee and said, my Lord and my God. That's believing. May we too believe in the risen Savior. May we reach out to others. I think it's a really good time to reach out to those who are unbelievers. The Thomases of this world. Invite them to church. Invite them to read scripture. Invite them to believe in a Savior named Jesus Christ. Tell them what He's done in your life. show them what He's done in your life. And I think we can capture more souls. They're out there. It's up to us to bring them in with God's help. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day and every day that You give us. And we thank You, Father, for a risen Lord who still serves today. He saves today. He has open arms and open hands to welcome all those, Lord, who need You. We thank You, Father, that Thomas did show us the way from a doubtful way to one who, on bended knee, touched the hem of Jesus' garment and said, "My Lord and my God." It's the same Jesus that we serve today and we worship today. And the song that was sang so pretty by Sister Shirley Johnson, we thank You, Father, that we can all hear songs and know Jesus helped with it and came through for it. Lord, we ask You to be with our churches during this time. This pandemic is keeping so many people away from church. May we slowly but surely open our churches back. So that our people together can worship. Your scripture calls us to worship one with the other in Your house. And Father, we just love You. And thank You for loving us. And may we pray for one another. And spiritually reach out to one another. And give hugs and handshakes spiritually. And then, Lord, and only then, can we know that You are there, You're in charge, and we thank You. In Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.